I enjoy a nice glass of wine, but I don't pretend to be an expert in wine. I usually just want a wine that's high quality, delicious, and not too expensive. And to me, that's Bogle Family Vineyards. And here's the thing about Bogle. This is a third generation family-owned winery from California that makes exceptional wines for about 10 bucks a bottle. Bogle wines consistently earn Best Buy designations and high ratings from wine enthusiasts. And let me tell you something. The folks at Wine Enthusiast, they drink a lot of wine. They drink a lot of fancy, expensive wine. And yet they still keep giving great ratings to Bogle. And Bogle Vineyards has so many different kinds of wine. Whatever your mood, whatever you're eating, there's a wine for you. They got this great Pinot Grigio that's crisp and fruity, goes well with spicy foods, with fish. They have a classic Chardonnay that's balanced, amazing with a pork tenderloin or butter chicken. I like to take that Chardonnay and do what Jacques Pepin taught me, a couple of ice cubes in your glass of Bogle. If Jacques Pepin says it's okay, then it's okay. And there's the Bogle Pinot Noir, refined and elegant with bright fruit and about as food-friendly as a red wine can be. You're not going to believe it's only $10. Neither will your friends if you tell them. So pick up a few bottles of Bogle wherever you buy your favorite wines. Please drink responsibly.
Hey Dan, my name is Bobby Walker from Gulf Shores, Alabama. My food resolution in 2022 is to eat more fish and seafood. I live on the Gulf Coast, but between being busy with life and hurricanes, I've had little time for fishing in the past year. So in 2022, if I'm eating more seafood, that means I've actually taken the time to relax and catch, clean, and cook more fish, crabs, and shrimp. Thanks and Happy New Year.
Hi Dan, my name is Megan and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. My New Year's food resolution is to try out some recipes from my new cookbooks. My family cleaned out my grandparents' house, and my dad brought me some promotional pamphlet cookbooks from various companies from the 50s and 60s. So think 60s cheese balls with Cheerios on them. And my resolution for this year is to try out some of these crazy recipes.
My name is Dale. I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. For 2022, my goal is to eat more tofu next year. I just turned 70 and I realized I really perhaps need to do a little bit more with eating a little bit healthier, along with the fact I keep getting nudges from my crazy vegan pastor. So we'll see how this all goes.
This is The Sporkful. It is not for foodies, it is for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. You know that each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. That's what we do here, okay? And if I sound a little bit punchy, it's because I am. It's because this is our year-end spectacular episode, the last Sporkful of 2021. I hope that wherever you are, that this finds you staying safe and healthy, spending time with friends and loved ones, and eating delicious food. Obviously, it's been quite a year here in Sporkland with Cascatelli and all that. I don't even know if you saw, I put it on social media. It was on the cover of Time magazine, the pasta, as one of the best inventions of 2021. So that was kind of bonkers. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for supporting our show, for being so excited about the pasta. And I'm also just very grateful to the folks who make the Sporkful with me. This is a team effort. We got senior producer Emma Morgenstern, producer Andres O'Hara, our editor Tracy Samuelson, our engineer Jared O'Connell, our EPs Daisy Rosario and Peter Clowney. Thank you to everyone who makes this show a success. So, what are we doing here? It's our New Year's spectacular episode. I don't have a script. It's like, you know, putting my feet up. It's end of the year, okay? But I do have a plan. There's a loose outline. Later in the show, I'll reveal to you my New Year's food resolution, the food that I resolve to eat more of in the new year. And we'll also share one of our favorite episodes from this year. But first, let's hear a few more of your New Year's food resolutions.
This is Tiffany calling from Oakland, California. In 2022, I resolved to eat and make more Spam Musubi. Whenever someone brings it to a potluck, that is the first thing I put on my plate. Not only will I read up on its origin, I'm going to learn how to make it myself too. And try it in different ways. Breakfast Musubi with eggs and cheese, kimchi musubi, deep fried musubi. The possibilities are endless and my taste buds couldn't be more excited.
My name is Sarah. I'm from Bloomington, Indiana. My New Year's food resolution is to eat more food made with my daughter. I have a 2-year-old daughter who loves to be by my side and she loves cooking with me and it's so fun to share that with her. This Thanksgiving, I spent a lot of time cooking with my mom and I realized how important that kitchen time with my mom has been throughout my life and how much I cherish it still. And I hope that I can continue to share that with my daughter.
Hello, Sporkful team. This is Nathan from Hickory, North Carolina, and my resolution is to eat more mushrooms. I was always that guy who grew up hating them because they were just little slivers of slimy somethings on salads or pizzas. But I found this wonderful mushroom guy. He's at our local farmer's market. He convinced me to try him, and I'm a convert. And I just want to keep on exploring this entire new kingdom of life that I have not eaten before.
My name is Don Bacon, and I'm from Ukraine. In 2022, I'm gonna eat more, you've probably already guessed, bacon, yeah. Cause, could there be too much bacon? I don't think so. Furthermore, I'm currently in the weight gain process, so I'm really trying to focus on eating more, eating better, and of course, eating more better bacon.
Lots of good ones in there. I also just love hearing where you're sending messages from. I love knowing that we're connecting with people all over, from Alabama to Wisconsin to Ukraine. So thanks, everyone. We'll have more of your resolutions and mine coming up later in the show. But now it's time for another one of our traditions here on the Sporkful for a year-end episode, and that is that the team and I kind of sit down, we pick an episode to repeat, and we have certain criteria for how we pick this episode. First, it can't be from the last couple months. It has to be from earlier in the year. And then beyond that, it has to be an episode that we, the folks who make the Sporkful, really love. So Emma, Andreas, Jared, and Tracy and I in particular, we really like this episode, but it wasn't one that got the most attention. So it's not going to be like a pasta episode, okay? It's one that we really liked, but we felt like maybe, I don't know, maybe you all were busy that week. It didn't quite get the response that we wanted it to get. And so we say, let's play it again. Maybe folks missed it the first time around. This one was a lot of fun to put together. I'm not gonna set it up at all. I'm just going to click play, but I think you're going to like it. And we'll be back with more New Year's food resolutions later in the show. All right, here you go.
That is a thing you share with my mom. It's like a great pro tip that you should compare your date to your mom on a first date, right?
Especially as like a gay man.
right, exactly, yeah.
A few months ago, we put out the call for Sporkful listeners looking for love. The idea? We'd set up some couples and send them on blind Zoom dates. More than 300 of you responded to our call from all over the world. Then we got to matchmaking. Now, the dating apps all brag about their process. They use complex algorithms to match you on dozens of criteria. We basically did the opposite of that. We matched people based on where they live and what genders and ages they're looking to date. Well, that and the fact that we know they're Sporkful fans. After talking to dozens of potential daters, we narrowed it down to the two dates you'll hear today. We were curious. Could listening to the Sporkful be the spark that ignites a grease fire of passion for two eaters? Could the Sporkful be the fertile soil out of which true love grows, like a voluptuous head of cabbage? And most important, in a year or two or three, will I finally be able to officiate my first Sporkful wedding? Before I get too far ahead of myself, let's go over our ground rules. All the dates were on Zoom because of COVID, but we still asked our daters to order from the same restaurant so they could have that shared food experience. We paired people who live nearby so that if the date's a success, they could hang out in person if they choose. Before the dates, we had each person record a voice message for the other person to hear. No photos were exchanged in advance. Okay, that music means it's time to hear those pre-date messages from our first couple, Sloan and Brian.
I'm Sloan. I am 28 years old. I live in Redondo Beach, California. I am a model, an actress, and a personal trainer. So, my whole life is focused around sports and fitness.
Hello, Sporkful. My legal name is Brian, but friends call me Panda, among other expletives, depending on how drunk they happen to be. I'm 28. I live in Buena Park, California, which is smack dab between L.A. and Orange County. San Diego, I'm sorry, you only exist to me during Comic-Con. I am a 3D character artist by trade and career.
I actually played baseball in college, like on the men's team. I was the first female to play baseball at my high school and my university.
A little bit more about myself. I have been playing bagpipes, Scottish Highland bagpipes, cumulatively for 6 years. Just got my kilt, actually, in Glasgow from McGregor and Macduff. Been doing stand-up comedy for roughly 2 years. For a time, I was performing sets out of my car window at random people on the LA street. I dance a lot. And you know, definitely being a foodie around this whole area in LA and Orange County.
I'm looking for a best friend. I'm looking for someone that wants to travel the world with me and eat their way through the world. Someone that is extremely active. I am extremely active. Among my many nicknames, I'm known as the Energizer Bunny.
I'm looking for someone who's proactive, independent, acridly witty, or someone who, you know, doesn't just have a sense of humor, but is actually attempting to make funny. And someone who is intimidating, hopefully.
I am excited to get a free dinner date from the Sporkful. I love you guys. So yeah, right on. Cheers, guys.
Let's see, I mean, I'm excited just to check out what's going to happen with this Sporkful date. Anything could happen, frankly. Thank you so much, and signing off.
So, Brian and Sloan are the same age. They're both outgoing. They seem to have big personalities. Will it be a match? Time to find out. You're going to hear clips from the date, which is just Brian and Sloan without me there. And you'll hear the confessionals, where I recapped with each of them separately. All right, let's start the date.
Nice to meet you, Slo.
Oh my gosh, nice to meet you. This is so crazy, but Did you get sugarfish too? The first thought I have when Brian comes on is the sushi smells really good and I just really want to start eating, if I'm totally honest.
She likes wine because there's a display of like wine, which to me reminded me of old frat houses I've been to where, you know, they'll stack beer cans.
Do you find Sloan attractive?
Yeah.
His personality to me was very attractive. I thought he was really easy to talk to. Very open, confident. I like that about him. But not physically what I wouldn't immediately be like, ooh, I want to sleep with that guy.
If I may call them self-doubts or insecurities, they don't hit me as hard as it seems for other people. Like, I think I make the assumption that I'm not attractive, but I know I'm so good at these other things that, like, I'm good to go.
What you're telling me is anything you may lack in looks you think you can make up for in charm?
Charm, talent abilities, like, Lord knows. there's an unreasonable amount of confidence in knowing who I am already and being able to lean in on those strengths to hold my own in most situations. Like, throw me to the Met Gala and I'll have a great time.
This isn't the Met Gala, so we'll only get to see how Brian fares on a Zoom dinner date over takeout sushi. Sloan suggested they both order from Sugarfish. It's a small chain of sushi spots in LA and New York. They do omakase-style sushi, so you can order a box that comes with all different types of raw fish and accompanying sauces.
So I had a lot of friends that had posted that, like, this is their new, like, pandemic date night and, like, oh, how good it is. So I was like, this could work. And I feel like it's a good conversation starter, like all the different types that we had. It was good. I liked it. Brian had some negative thoughts. Oh, I'm so excited for this. Have you ever had sugarfish?
I've had it once. I have admittedly avoided it for most of my existence.
Why? Tell me.
I recognize that they were trying to position themselves, and correct me if I'm wrong, if they're to be like a mid-scale but still high-quality sushi place, like a place you can jump in like on a Wednesday night with friends.
Right. Okay. And why is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing, but after watching Jiro Dreams of Sushi, there was this mental switch that kicked in. I'm like, if I'm going to eat sushi, I'm going to wait till I can splurge for it at specific locations instead of this chain sushi restaurant, which I'm assuming is doing a great job, but I have admittedly higher priorities.
I've never had it before, but so far the edamame is like pretty good. So when he said that, I was like, oh, like, I thought this was a good choice for like a sushi date, but he warmed up to it. And I think he realized that I thought this was like fun to do. So he, I feel like, was a little bit more forgiving towards me.
The sugarfish caught me off guard because, I mean, in a city with so much diverse food and not just that, but like individual chefs and artistic chefs who are so hell-bent on their visions, like there are other opportunities to find better sushi or more story-filled sushi than sugarfish. But at the same time, it's not to say, like, she's not the only one that has stated that she likes sugarfish. And it probably speaks more to my hoity-toityness on that front as a foodie.
Brian and Sloan both grew up in the LA area, and early in the date, they realized that Sloan played baseball near where Brian lived. They bond over the sandwiches from Lee's, which was a local shop when they were growing up, but has now gone nationwide. They continue to chat about food, swapping stories of some of their favorite meals in recent years.
My digging into L.A., whether it's that one time I accidentally pissed off Roy Choi on New Year's Day, and this long conversation I had with this April Jackson over at Three Little Birds over in London.
Oh, wow. So, I actually lived in London. So when it comes to name dropping, I could have easily like turned it back on him. It's not, I wasn't impressed. I've worked with Megan Rapinoe and LeBron James. So that's cool though. Can Roy Choi come make us dinner? Because that'll really turn me on. So where is your favorite food destination?
Apart from LA, just because we're very privileged here.
Is it really? LA is really your favorite? It's so not my favorite. I'm seventh generation Angeleno, interestingly enough. So
wow.
I know.
Like, I'm still married to this idea of like tacos, sweat, and gasoline with LA, but I think most of my interests presently are pushing into stuff that are as much, I would think, is more obscure. Like, I know there's a big push on the Filipino food.
I think that the problem with the LA food scene, there always has to be something amplified, like a gastronomic foam that's been infused with lavender and put on top of this piece of sashimi. And you're just like, okay, so like it's foam on fish.
The thing that turns you off about food in LA essentially is when it feels like it's trying too hard.
Exactly.
Which also seems to be the issue you're running into with Brian.
Oh, Dan, are you my new therapist? Can we do this once a week?
Sure, my rates are very reasonable.
Huh. This is an interesting connection you're making. I guess you're right. I think, yeah, the LA food scene tries too hard, and maybe in a lot, in some ways, no offense to Brian, again, great guy. But I think you're right. There were a lot of moments where it was just kind of like, I just don't care. If you can see behind me, me and my mom backpacked through Italy for a month last October and pretty much ate and drank our way through all of Italy. So I've done a lot of eating. Yeah, I know. It was pretty epic. I've done a lot of eating.
She clearly has adventured and eaten her way through the world in a remarkably different way from me. I mean, her conversation about her trips through Italy and other Western European countries, like, those are narratives I've heard before from other friends. And I'm only saying that in contrast against me, which, like, my immediate travel plan, or relatively immediate travel plans before quarantine hit, was to go to Kenya or Nigeria to get a handle on Afrobeat dance there. And also eat my way through, you know, whatever jollof rice happens to mean back in that country, among other things. But that's from what I would assume is a fundamentally different perception of what people my age would prioritize as travel.
You felt like the choice of sugarfish was a little bit like kind of middle of the road, not that interesting to you compared to other types of sushi. And then also kind of similar thing with the travel and places she's gone versus where you would be interested in going, is that it felt a little bit kind of middle of the road.
Right, as a first instinct. But I would want to still qualify by saying I am probably underserving and underestimating the possibilities and adventures that those locations provide.
Sloane talks about her trip to Italy with her mom for several more minutes. Until...
Okay, I'll keep the story short because I feel like it's going on and on.
It has been, but I like listening.
Oh, thank you. And then finished in Rome. And had the best in that statement, I didn't see it as flirty. I just thought of it as like really thoughtful.
Brian, when you said, yeah, the story has been going on for a while, but I like listening, was that flirting? Is that what you were going for?
Deliberately, yes. I have yet to admit that most of the time I'm going out of my way to make sure the other person's being listened, like by me. In my limited emotional intelligence, I know that I'm like a selfish person. I'm very good about pontificating myself and having a large ego. I need to make the effort on my end to make sure the other person's heard, that they get the space, because I know I can steamroll very quickly and I can be verbose, as you've seen throughout this conversation. Mexican spicy, I would describe as it like just hurts you, like, and then Korean spicy tends to be like a BDSM, like they'll slap you, but there's like a little sugar at the end. It's a little aftercare, at least.
Okay.
So then getting to Spanish food. So I'm Korean American, but at least for Korean food, like it feels like a genuine, to me, a description of what Korean culture is to some degree, where there is this intensity of emotion and anger. And I would hope that framing it in like as BDSM, but there is a sweetness at the end, is indicative of not just Korean food, but how the people I ethnically identify with are coming from.
Sloan, what did you think of Brian's BDSM joke comparing Korean food to BDSM?
I did not hear that. Oh, he okay. said that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I missed that completely. I'm glad I did. That's a pretty big statement for a first date. Yeah, that's a big step for the first time meeting someone.
So, are Sloan and Brian a match? Will they choose to see each other again? Later in the show, we'll hear the final moments of their date and get answers to those questions. But before that, we'll go on a date with couple number two, and we'll hear more of your New Year's food resolutions and mine. Stick around.
Hope you're hungry, because it's time for some ads.
Norwegian Cruise Line breaks the boundaries of global cruise travel. When you cruise with NCL, you're going to get award-winning specialty restaurants, a variety of food and beverage offerings, immersive entertainment, and the most thrilling experiences at sea. It is first class. These ships have all kinds of specialty restaurants: Brazilian steakhouse, French, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, Mexican. Select ships also feature al fresco dining on the waterfront and Ocean Boulevard, an oceanside promenade lined with bars and restaurants. Norwegian provides guests with truly authentic and fresh dining and bar experiences complemented by exceptional service. Almost everything you'll eat is prepared from scratch by highly experienced chefs. And they got whatever you're going to be in the mood for. You want a quick, casual family meal? They've got that. You want a beautiful four-course feast? They've got that too. And you can sip something delicious at one of up to 23 unique bar and lounge options per ship. Visit and explore exciting destinations around the world and enjoy unique experiences on board. With no set dining and entertainment times and no formal dress codes, you have the flexibility to design your ideal vacation. Book your next adventure at ncl.com. Recently, I went into my closet to try to get a collared shirt out, and it occurred to me that I don't think I have bought a new collared shirt in 5 years. I mean, every shirt in there was either really old, or it had some kind of perma-stain situation, or it probably never fit right in the first place. I gotta freshen up a little bit here. It's time for something new, right? And spring is coming. Now is the time if you've been looking to refresh your wardrobe, home, or skincare and beauty routines this season. Because, you know, Walmart has genuinely surprising style finds that don't break the bank. This spring, there's only one destination for the latest fashion, home, and beauty inspired by real life. Walmart. I freshened up my wardrobe. I got some nice dress shirts, a couple light hoodies. You know, you need light hoodies for the springtime. Very useful, very comfortable. Discover surprisingly stylish new season favorites at Walmart now, or shop it all on the Walmart app. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart. This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. We have a dog. Her name is Sasha. She's almost four. She's a standard poodle. She's black and fluffy and soft and very adorable. And when we first got her, we took her to like this puppy kindergarten training class. The whole family went. And, you know, they're teaching how to use the treats and all this. The trainer watched Sasha for a bit and said, she's very food motivated. And my daughter Emily turned to me and said, she's a Pashman. And so she is food motivated. And that's why we make a point of feeding Sasha high quality pet food. Founded in Hereford, Texas, Merrick has been crafting high-quality dog food for over 30 years. Real is Merrick's recipe, so they always use deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. And let me tell you something. When it's dinner time, Sasha is motivated, okay? She is highly motivated to come in from patrolling the backyard at dinner, to get up off the couch. Whatever she's doing, she will drop it and come running. Check out Merrick online or in your local pet store and look for their new packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. I just got a very wonderful shipment of goodies from the folks at Reese's. And let me tell you something. These people remain the absolute worldwide leaders in bringing together chocolate and peanut butter. Of course, we know that peanut butter cups remain transcendent. But have you tried the Reese's Sticks? They're wafers with peanut butter in between each wafer, all coated in chocolate. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter just brings people joy, and the folks at Reese's do it better than anyone. So shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you. Found wherever candy is sold. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. And hey, you know, I mentioned earlier that we have a great team who makes this workflow here. And if you want to connect with all of us a little bit more, subscribe to our newsletter, because every week we send out a newsletter and we tell you what everyone who works on the Sporkful is eating and reading. So it's a good way to connect with culture, get some ideas about what to make for dinner or just what to go out and buy. It's fun. Subscribe to the newsletter at sporkful.com/newsletter. Now, before we get back to our dates, let's hear a few more of your New Year's food resolutions.
My name is Kyle, and I live in Huntington, Indiana. This year, my wife and I opened a bakery, and currently she's the main one working there, making all kinds of sweet treats. My goal is to be able to put more into the business this year by making bread. I've gotten a couple breads down really well, like sandwich bread, focaccia, but I really want to branch out and do more things like sourdough and rye. So I want to eat more bread in 2022.
Hi, my name is Alex, and I currently live in Melbourne, Australia. In 2022, I plan to eat more of the food that I have grown myself, because at the start of 2022, I am moving to 10 acres in regional Victoria, and it has an orchard and strawberries and a big veggie patch. So I'm looking forward to eating what I grow.
Hi, this is James from Boulder, and I resolved to eat more salty, processed foods in 2022. I was recently diagnosed with a mild case of hyponatremia from literally eating too much fresh produce, so I guess it's time to live a little and indulge a bit more.
Hi, this is Amy Noel from Dayton, Ohio, and in 2022, I resolved to get to the bottom of my freezer. We have one of those deep chest freezers in our basement, and I have not seen the bottom of it since we bought it over a decade ago. There are things in there that have been there so long, they might as well be considered heirlooms. So those wonderful tomatoes from 2 years ago, they're going in a chili next year. You're my witness. Wish me luck.
So, James, I'm not familiar with that condition, but I don't know that you need a medical diagnosis to eat more salty processed snacks. I mean, look, all things in moderation, including moderation. That's what I say. Okay, a bag of Doritos once in a while is probably good for you spiritually. Now back to the Sporkful dating game. Let's meet our second couple.
My name is Mickey. I use he, him pronouns. I am a 28-year-old program data manager for a housing nonprofit in Seattle.
Hi, my name is Will. I am 24. I work full-time as a software engineer at Google.
Existing on the larger side and being gay, I've always felt undateable. The gay world centers around body image, and that's very apparent by the labels that we give each other. So in 2020, I decided to lose weight. And I've lost about 120 pounds through dieting and working out.
One of my big quarantine projects has been building this big hydroponic farm in my really small apartment. I am what you might call a plant gay. I do like the idea that, like, in the apocalypse, I would be able to grow food.
I think humor and an inquisitive mind are my top two characteristics in a date.
Whenever I'm on a first date, I want to get into the nitty-gritty of something ASAP. Like, are we living in a simulation?
Controversial food opinions. I do not understand the appeal to mochi donuts. And I will not entertain a debate about this, but Filipino brunch is the best brunch ever.
I think that mashed potatoes are an abomination. I think they are baby food, and I think that anybody who has adult teeth has no business eating them.
I haven't been on a date since 2018, so thanks to the Sporkful for setting me up.
I am excited to make Dan officiate my wedding.
Will and Mickey both live in Seattle. They met for a Zoom date the week before Thanksgiving. Mickey was actually quarantining in a hotel room so he could see his family for the holiday. Okay, let's start the date.
Hey, Mickey.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know if...
So, Will, what did you do to prepare for this date?
Yeah. Okay. So there were two things. One was, this is kind of silly, but I have a towel hanging from my my oven handle.
Right.
And it's like always just kind of bunched up and thrown on there. And I very specifically went and like folded it and had it hanging directly kind of up and down so that it looked like my life was together because this towel was like folded on my oven handle correctly.
Right.
And then the other thing was I tilted the camera specifically so that I have this ukulele hanging on the wall next to my desk. And I wanted that in frame. Because I was prepared to pull it down and serenade him.
Mickey, did you by any chance notice the ukulele?
I did. I wanted to ask about the ukulele, but it seemed like we had bigger topics to speak about.
And did you notice the towel that was hanging on the oven handle?
I didn't.
And how much thought are you putting into what's in your camera shot?
I actually did not think about this at all. I'm at a hotel and I did not pack anything. My comfort outfit is a tank and shorts. And so all I have is a jacket. And I didn't think about it. I forgot that this is a actual date and Zoom is, you know, when I have meetings, I usually turn my camera off and I forgot that you can't do that on a date. So
Will is a planner. Mickey, not so much. Also, Will's 24. He's more in a post-college phase, just starting his career. Mickey's in his late 20s, so he's been working for longer now. But as the date gets going, they seem to be hitting it off.
I've never been like super into makeup, but one of the things that has been, especially on Zoom, I feel like my brows show up. And so I have like a copious amount of like, I've given myself a very strong brow, if you can, you know. You could appreciate.
They look really good. And actually, one of the first things I notice is the brow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I'm going to show up to this first day and I'm just going to fish for compliments the entire time.
Yeah, I do like your brows.
Mickey and Will ordered from Din Tai Fung. It's an international chain known for a type of Shaolong Bao from a region of eastern China.
What did you order?
I got some veggie noodles and also, I was like, I don't know what Sporkful's budget is, but I'd love some boba tea.
Nice.
What about you?
I got the Over the Moon bundle, the savory, like, 4-pack. Mm. But I mostly was interested in the crafting kit, because I'm like, what is this crafting kit?
That's dope. Wait, so what is it? What do you craft?
I don't know.
Okay, you got an activity item, too. That's dope.
Yes. I'm definitely a big kid, where it's like, if there's an activity with a meal, I love that.
What is like a food like compatibility deal breaker?
Smacking, like when people smack, you know, like that. Yeah. And that's why I'm like actually, paranoid to eat right now, because I'm like, I don't want you hearing this noise.
That is a thing you share with my mom. It's like a great pro tip that you should compare your date to your mom on a first date, right?
Especially as like a gay man.
Right, exactly, yeah. I say it only because I feel like...
Are you intentionally comparing Mickey to your mom there? Was there sort of forethought in that?
I think it really was just such a... I'm not strategizing with this. It's like, this is literally my mom, and so I have to tell you this. I think that after I say it, I'm like, oh yeah, it's a little bit strange to compare your date to your mom. But I have a great relationship with my mom, so nothing but a compliment.
So funny. Oh, okay. I do have a prepared question for you.
Yes.
What do you do since you don't like mashed potatoes? What do you do for Thanksgiving?
Okay, so I mean, before I answer, I just feel like I have to like get a read. Like, how do you feel about mashed potatoes?
I feel like your answer should come first.
Okay. Well, this feels like a trap, first of all. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's very simple. The plan that I have, and I've gotten my family on board, there might still be a small thing of mashed potatoes there, but the thing I'm going to make is crispy smashed potatoes, where you like boil them a little bit, and then you smash them, and then you kind of like bake them a little bit more, and they get like really crispy, and yet they're still like pretty fluffy on the inside.
That's amazing.
You have to tell me how you feel about mashed potatoes now.
I love mashed potatoes. I love the texture. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of insulted you called it baby food.
This is, now I just need to make it clear, Mickey, this is not a normative statement. I'm not.
So like, let's say hypothetically, the two of you ended up together for an extended period. You had to do like holidays together, Thanksgiving together. Would you give up mashed potatoes for love, Mickey?
I feel like mashed potatoes has its place, and I feel like love is about compromises. So if that means not having it for Thanksgiving, I would advocate for that to be part of Christmas or some other holiday.
Will, it seems like the two of you have very different perspectives on potatoes. Is this an issue?
Maybe. It might be. Differences on opinion on potato texture is probably a bigger, more likely to be a deal breaker than a lot of other foodstuffs.
And let's say the two of you were together for the long haul and you started celebrating like Thanksgiving together. How would you handle this potato situation?
I would always hope that that whoever I'm close with sees the light, so to speak. That's always going to be, you know, the hope deep down. I think probably you do end up having a mashed potato dish and having some kind of crispier potato dish.
As you heard, Mickey hasn't been on a date in 2 years, since before he lost all that weight. He told us he has trouble meeting guys in Seattle. He says people there are very body conscious, and with the pandemic, it's become nearly impossible. And as he tells Will,
I don't do small talk well, so that's probably why I haven't been on a date forever.
I'm very much in the same camp that, like, I'm gonna, like, try to get us debating something or, like, try to get us, like, hashing something out. Are you familiar with the whole, like, are we living in a simulation kind of theory?
Like, is it kind of like the Truman Show kind of concept thing of, like...
Mickey and Will spend a lot of the date debating philosophical questions.
Given that we're experiencing something that looks like reality, it is more likely that we are in one of those things that has already been simulated than us being in, like...
They go back and forth until...
So you said, I think you called it a plant gay.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that you didn't say plant daddy, because I wanted plant daddy to be on this podcast.
Plant daddy. Okay, for the next several minutes, I'm just going to say plant daddy on repeat. So they'll have to grab some of that out of you, right? Plant daddy. Plant daddy.
You grow cabbage. Is that what you said? Cabbage?
I grew a lot of lettuce.
Lettuce.
Some arugula, a lot of cilantro, some mushrooms, actually.
Wow, that's like next level, though, because people, when they say plant daddy, it's like plants, not agriculture.
The plants down below, they have like this automated pump that comes on and like kind of sprays water over the roots that are like kept in this separate chamber. So that's like, I'm good at taking care of those, but then the mushrooms are literally...
It's very attractive that he can grow. I can't grow anything. I kill succulents. The fact that he can take care of so many things is very attractive, and that he can grow his own food is attractive too.
So, can Will's strong brows and impressive plants win Mickey over? Or is the mashed potato divide more than they can bridge? Before we find out, let's return to our first couple. Brian and Sloan spent about an hour talking. Let's see how their date ended.
Brian, this has been really fun. No matter what happens, like, we may, like, never meet again. It's just fun to talk to someone new, you know?
Yeah. You're making it sound like there's a timestamp on this.
I feel like eventually I'm going to need to hang up because my computer's going to die.
Because you can't plug it in.
Oh, I need to go get the charger and stuff.
I can wait. But no, get your charger if you need to. I can wait. No, let me finish my...
We'll hang out for a little bit.
I think at that moment, I started to realize that that was the soft exit. But it would take, as the date went on, several more times for me to get the message.
It seems like you're sending some pretty clear signals that you're ready to wrap things up. And I'm not sure that he's hearing them.
Yes. I was ready to wrap it up. I had finished my sushi and
he tried to ask for your number, but then you were hesitant to give it.
Yeah, I gave it to him. I'm not good at saying no, Dan. I'm just not.
Would you want to see him again for a date?
No. I'm going to be totally upfront. I fairly recently got out of a relationship and I thought that I was ready to get back into the dating scene. I had a lot of fun. By the end of it, I kind of just recognized that, like, we weren't really vibing as, like, romantically.
Brian, has there been any communication between you and Sloan since the date?
Yeah. I texted her 2 days after formally asking her, like, I'd love to take you out if you're down for it. She said no on account of her having just left a relationship recently and then reiterated again that I'm a very cool guy.
How did that feel?
The cool guy's expected. She's not the only one to have said that. And I already believe that since 1992. The just out of relationship thing is understandable. I mean, I've had that issue in the past before. Yeah.
Well, I guess we're 0 for 1. But I'm holding out some hope for Will and Mickey. Their date went for 2 hours. Let's join back up with them as they say their goodbyes.
Well, hey, I kind of have to go to the bathroom. And it has been a hot minute, but this has been really fun.
Yeah.
Are you an Insta?
I am.
Sweet, you want to drop your handle?
I will. Can I preface that it's even my tagline. It's like 10% thirst pose, 20% comedy, and like 70% sad poetry.
Okay.
So I'm giving you that. And
I will certainly not hold it against you. But yeah, this was super weird, but also it's super fun.
It was nice meeting you.
It was nice to meet you as well. Yeah.
This is fun.
Thanks for being my date. Peace out, friend.
See ya. Bye.
So at the end of the date, Will signs off by saying, "Peace out, friend." Did you hear that? What do you make of that?
It kind of affirms what I was feeling as well. I think we can have great conversations. I don't know where we would be as romantic partners. Also, I think just the fact that he asked for my Instagram handle just shows that there is a clear distinction between how old we are. Maybe if the zombie apocalypse happens and I need someone to grow food, it's another conversation.
Oh, man, I really thought this date was going well. But Mickey tells me it was missing that spark.
I think Will is very charming. He's very intellectual. I'm not sure if the chemistry to be a romantic partner is there.
I did feel, after the experience, fairly deeply connected, and it felt like, it felt like we had become friends. It was really fun to meet a new person. He's super pleasant. Nothing was super awkward.
I know you said that the two of you started following each other on Instagram. Have you messaged each other? Has there been any communication?
We've shared a couple of like responses to one another's stories. I think like an emoji here or there.
Do you want to see him again?
That's a good question. I think probably not. It does just feel like we're in somewhat different parts of life.
Oh, well, 0 for 2. I blame Zoom, at least partly. I mean, I haven't been on a Zoom date, but I just have to imagine the whole thing feels weird. It's harder to make a connection. Maybe we'll do this again after the pandemic, when we can pair people up to date in person. I'm going to officiate a wedding, come hell or high water. Also, I want you to find love. It's both, really. So if you'd like to be paired up for a Sporkful dating game episode in the future, go to sporkful.com/love. Fill out our survey and you could find yourself going out to dinner, compliments of the Sporkful. Again, sporkful.com/love. All right, we have reached that moment. Time for my New Year's food resolution. First, I will grade myself on last year's resolution. Last year, I resolved to eat more dobanjang, the fermented bean paste that is in mapo tofu and many other dishes. I'm going to give myself a B+. I never got past mapo tofu, but I did make Andrea Wynn's recipe for mapo tofu spaghetti. I made that sauce. In fact, that's my favorite way to have cascatelli. My pasta shape is with that sauce. And as someone who didn't grow up cooking traditional Asian foods at home, cooking this style of sauce with some of these ingredients was out of my comfort zone, and I'll admit that I was a little bit intimidated by it, but Andrea writes great recipes, and after I did it a couple of times, it was so easy. And I was glad, you know, now mapo tofu is the kind of thing that I can whip up on a Tuesday night in 20 minutes. And I'm glad to add that to my repertoire. But I needed, you know, to get into the A level, I would have had to have more dobanjang in more different dishes. So look, next year. But my new New Year's food resolution, now this one, I put a lot of thought into this one. And as I record this, I remain torn. For a while, I was sure that it was going to be miso. Senior producer Emma Morgenstern shared a recipe in our newsletter, That's why you should subscribe to our newsletter, of like a grilled eggplant that she makes with this like sesame miso glaze. And I decided to try to make it. I'd never bought or cooked with miso before. And I, you know, sampled a little bit right out of the bag when I bought it. I was like, oh my God, I never had uncut miso. It's incredible. I had a butterscotch miso sauce on a piece of apple pie that I ate at a restaurant once that blew my mind, that still haunts me. So I thought I need to, you know, do more stuff with miso. But then friend of the show, Sola L. Whaley, she shared something on Instagram that her and her husband were having, like, I think she described like his and hers yogurt dishes for lunch. And they were savory yogurts with a lot of stuff mixed in, za'atar and nuts. I don't remember exactly what it was. Each one of them was doing something different. And they're both chefs, so they're always doing interesting stuff. Anyway, that just made me, you know, like Janie had some plain yogurt in the fridge, not sweetened, and I had snacked on it. And just like just all the notes, the sourness was so delicious to me. And I was like, yeah, I should be eating more yogurt, like with cool stuff, all different things mixed in. So what should it be? Miso or yogurt? Miso or yogurt? I think I'm just going to decide based on what I happen to be more in the mood for right this minute. Here we go. My New Year's food resolution for 2022 is... I resolve to eat more yogurt. I'm just in the mood for yogurt right now. But I want like savory yogurt dishes and hearty yogurt dishes. Like I want to have yogurt for lunch with a bunch of flavors and textures mixed in. So I would love to hear your suggestions, because this is like a whole new world to me. So if you have stuff you love to throw in yogurt to make it a hearty, flavorful meal, I want to know about it. Drop me a line at hello@sporkful.com. And I know that a lot of people eat a lot of yogurt in a lot of different ways, and I just feel like I want to be part of that party. That's it. Yogurt. Well, thank you again so much for listening to our show and supporting what we do here on The Sporkful all year. Thank you for your enthusiasm for the pasta shape. Thank you to everyone who works on The Sporkful and makes it so successful. I appreciate all of you, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season and a happy new year. We'll be back with a brand new show on January 3rd. In the meantime, subscribe to our newsletter at sporkful.com/newsletter. This show is produced by me, along with senior producer
Emma Morgenstern
and producer
Andres O'Hara.
Additional production by
Corinne Wallace.
Our editor is
Tracy Samuelson.
The show is mixed by
Jared O'Connell.
Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Peter Clowney and Daisy Rosario. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Stephanie in Cincinnati, Ohio, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.